You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
As John suggested 2 weeks ago, it is important to remember that these stories are born out of generations of oral tradition that were eventually, much later, written down. These are not history texts, even though there is some history there. These are stories our ancestors told to talk about their faith experiences with God. To turn oneself inside out to explain a burning bush that is not consumed is to really just go off the rails and miss the beauty of the story. I'm pretty sure you didn't worry about scientific proof when you read Harry Potter. This is a big story about how God works. This is about how God desires relationship with us, who partners with us to bring forward God's desired future for all people and for all creation. We learn significant attributes about God from this story. First, we learn God hears the cries of God's people. God is not unmoved by human suffering and pain. Rather, God hears us and seeks ways to respond. Now, one might wonder, if God is all-knowing and all-powerful, why wouldn't God just have taken care of it? I mean, just smite the oppressive Pharaoh and be done with it. This story and others in Scripture actually do not always, actually even more than not always, I would say often do not depict God as all-knowing and all-powerful. They reveal a God who seeks relationship with us and who is affected by us, the choices we make, and the circumstances in which we find ourselves. We encounter a God who acts with us. We learn from these stories that God is particularly concerned with people or creatures or creation that are oppressed. The people's cries that God heard were the Israelites who once were starving in Israel, who came down to Egypt because they had a lot of food. They came down so that they could live and not die. And they were welcomed in Egypt. They were shown hospitality. They were given food. The Israelites made it their home. And generations later, a Pharaoh rose up who either did not remember that story, chose to forget that story, but surely did not share the vision of a common good for all. And so he enslaved the Israelites. So that first reading was that context of the call of Moses. Second, how does God work? God works through God's creation. I believe there is no end to God's creativity to try to be in relationship with us. God must be very challenged to first get our attention, especially when I see how engaged we are, and I'm early among them, engaged with our little screens. Moses was an interesting choice since he was a murderer and apparently had a speech impediment. But God really does not seem to be troubled by such things. What Moses did have was curiosity. He saw something weird, a burning bush. Go figure. Moses went over to check it out. Ha! God got Moses' attention. And they enter into relationship. Taking little steps, they each come closer to the other in some kind of conversation. Now let's not get all hung up on whether or not words were actually exchanged or what kind of conversation this was. I don't know about you, but I have had experiences of God nudging me in particular directions. And how do we talk about that? Well, I might say, God told me to do that. And we usually view such notions with suspicion, don't we? Yeah, right. But words are only a part of it. It is also a process, a relationship of disclosure and trust and curiosity and daring. Moses comes to understand that this is God, the God of his ancestors, the God who abides with us, the God who longs for justice and peace for all, the God who seeks us out to make it happen. We are invited into the story to share in it in a new way for a new time. Third, contrary to popular belief that God has a plan, we rather learn that God is nimble and adaptive. God works with us where we are. God placed it on Moses' heart to go speak to the Pharaoh to release the Israelites. And Moses responds, "Excuse me? Who am I to do that?" God says, "It's okay. I'm with you." Moses says, "Hey, I need more street cred than that. I need to know your name. You know, they're gonna ask." So then God responds by giving Moses a suggested script. "Well, you could say this." Well, God's little script goes on beyond what you heard read this morning. It goes on for 15 more verses of what God told Moses he might tell the Israelites. And God was really trying. God was really trying to meet Moses and say, this is what you can say. But Moses' objections go on and on. You just heard a few of them. He had many more, and they take up the majority of chapter 4, if you're interested. He said, "God, really, I can't talk. My brother Aaron's pretty good at that." God says, okay, Aaron can go too. God is nothing if not flexible. Moses had really good reasons for not wanting to do this. And the biggest I would surmise is that it was a really hard thing to do. Moses wasn't stupid. He knew that one misstep could lead to fatal outcomes. Stealing the Pharaoh's cheap slave labor would not endear him to anyone in power. It was a very political act. God heard Moses' objections, and God reworked the strategy with Moses. God met Moses where Moses was. The plan unfolded as they were in relationship together. God lures us to a vision of God's preferred future. We respond, and so does God. God doesn't coerce us. God beckons us, and we are free to say no. The choice is always ours. But I know for sure God's presence and lure is persistent. God does not give up, but God doesn't have to have only one predetermined plan. Rather, God meets us. With each step we take, God meets us there and lures us to take just another step. When we say God is present with us, it is not a benign, sweet, do-nothing presence. It is a presence that calls us out into the world to do something about injustice. God hears the cries of the people and wants injustice to end. So, church, Has injustice ended? Has injustice ended? No. Church, is there injustice today? Yes. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I watch the news, the only thing I can do is weep. The atrocities that human beings can do to one another and to God's creation are staggering. Now, some would say, well, I just don't ever watch the news. Well, probably sounds a little judgy, but I think that's kind of irresponsible. You see, this is God's creation. We live in God's creation, and God seeks our partnership in its restoration for the common good for all. We cannot plead ignorance. Can we see this narrative play out today? The Washington Post reported a couple of days ago that in the 274 days of the year 2015, we have documented 294 mass shootings in the United States, a mass shooting being defined as four or more people being shot. 294 mass shootings in 274 days. We seem to be a violent country, and we do nothing to change that. Aren't we sick of praying for the victims and their families without doing something about the systemic reasons for why these shootings are part of our culture? I feel pretty sure that God weeps at our complacency. The media has been all too happy to criticize Europe for their lack of response to the Syrian refugees who clamor to any country that will take them in so that they might live. It is sickening to watch. But wait, isn't there a log in our eye? I can't see very well because I think there's a log in our eye. We pay private corporations to warehouse refugee families, including children. We guarantee them a certain number of beds per night so they can stay in business and make a profit. Oh, but hear this from a news source. In the wake of increased attention on the inhumane practice of detaining families seeking asylum, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement announced it would be providing alternatives to family detention. The problem? It awarded the contract to a private prison contractor. GeoCare LLC is part of the for-profit entity that accounts for 25% of all the roughly 34,000 immigration detention beds throughout our nation. In 2014, the company generated $143.8 million in profits, including from its detention facilities. I feel pretty sure God weeps for our complacency. There is an outcome of the Moses story that might make us feel uneasy as well. We can get on board with liberating those slaves out of Egypt. But then what about the Canaanites? They're already lived there. The story is told from the point of view of the victors. How would the story be told if it were told from the Palestinians who'd always lived there? Has this narrative given us permission to support crazy conflict in the Middle East without question? Has this narrative left us blind to the outcome that we've borne witness to all these years? Does this narrative help us justify the violence? Well, you see, how we understand Scripture has global consequences. This is World Communion Sunday. Do we work for the common good of the globe? Isn't communion more than feeling good here in our sanctuary? Is it not also one of the ways that God seeks to get our attention and have relationship with us so that together, in relationship, we can embody love in the world? As United Methodists, we believe that God is not found in the bread and the juice, but more fully in the heart of the one who receives it. How is God touching your heart? How is God making your heart beat just a little faster? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus to get a clearer picture of what God's love and justice look like. Would Jesus be content with our ongoing gun violence? Would Jesus be content with how we treat immigrants? Would Jesus be content with our continual being engaged in war? Would Jesus be content with putting profits over people? Friends, your relationship with God actually matters in the world. So I want to encourage you in the following ways. Exercise curiosity. Expect God to show up. Listen for God's rustle. If you're not sure, ask, God, is that you? Then sit in silence. Wait. Then ask again, God, is that you? Trust what comes. It may come then, it may come later. You will know. Then discern, reflect, check in with those biblical narratives. God wants to be in relationship with you. God will meet you where you are. God will hear everything you have to say. God will give you the help you need. God will use everything you have to give. God's desire is for justice and for peace for all creatures. What will you do?
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.